Lord's Day, a day of rest, a day of gathering together to worship our great and awesome, glorious, triune God. I love hearing you sing. It encourages my heart. I love hearing us sing to our Lord about all of his glories, about all of his majesty, wrapped up in Jesus Christ. It is such a joy. I'm glad you joined us today for that very thing. Now, as we continue our worship into God's Word, I want to call you as Christians, we know and we understand all of God's special revelation, whether it is the Old Testament or the New Testament. It is necessary and good that we have both testaments and that we understand that all Scripture is breathed out by God. The Old Testament speaks of God's redemptive works in the past through narrative, through poetry, even in the wisdom literature. There are prophecies in the Old Testament and promises. There are covenants given. And the New Testament speaks of those promises being fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Even those promises made to Adam, the promises made to Abraham, the promises made to Moses and David and all the prophets, they have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. This is why we sing. Before we continue our study in the Old Testament book of Habakkuk, I want to remind you of the continuity of the scriptures from the Old Testament as we have been doing through our book of Habakkuk and how the Old Testament points to Jesus Christ. So if you have your scripture, copy of the scriptures this morning, if you would open them to the book of Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26 in the New Testament, just after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Acts chapter 26. As I read through this short paragraph of scripture, I want you to note how it highlights the Old Testament, Moses, and the prophets, and the connection that the apostles make, the Apostle Paul here, to Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 26, verse 19. Hear now the reading of God's holy word to you. Therefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and throughout all the region of Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds in keeping with their repentance. For this reason, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. To this day, I have had the help that comes from God, and so I stand here testifying, both to small and great, saying nothing but what the prophets and Moses said would come to pass, that the Christ must suffer, and that by being the first to rise from the dead, he would proclaim light both to our people and to the Gentiles. Amen. This is God's holy word. Let us pray in light of the scripture and ask the Lord to bless our time together. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we call upon you, Lord, to bless us as we hear your holy word through the preaching and proclamation of your word as we already sung in our song today. Lord, illumine our eyes, the very eyes of our hearts, through your Holy Spirit, to see and rejoice in you, the God of our salvation, through all of our hardships in this life. Father, we ask you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, if you will turn to the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3. I believe if you have a pew Bible today, it's on page 1000. Habakkuk, chapter 3. I want to read verse 16 through 19. We will wrap up the book of Habakkuk today, looking at really the highlight, rejoicing in the Lord. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 16. Hear now God's holy word. I hear, my body trembles. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters into my bones, and my legs tremble beneath me. Yet I will quietly wait for the day of trouble to come upon the people who invade us. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food. The flock be cut off from the fold, and there are no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. To the choir master with stringed instruments. Amen. This is God's holy word. Beloved, today we're going to see from the book of Habakkuk, this prophet is going to give us a threefold response to God's judgment of the wicked and the salvation of his people. And by way of illustration, point number one, we are going to see this response is a trembling response. And number two, we're going to see that it is a response of sobering assessment. And thirdly, we're going to see it's a response of joy in the Lord. Joy in the Lord. So number one, we're going to see it's a response of trembling. Number two, of sobering assessment. And number three, a response of joy in the Lord. And that word, Lord, in the Hebrew, is the personal covenantal name Yahweh, or Jehovah, the God who makes promises, the God who makes covenants and keeps his covenant. So if you look with me at Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 16, it begins and he says, I hear, my body trembles. He says, my lips quiver. Rottenness enters into my very bones. My legs tremble beneath me. It says, yet I will wait quietly for the day of trouble to come upon the people who invade us. As we come to this portion of Scripture, I want to remind you that the prophets, these prophets of old, were sometimes called seers. They were sometimes in the Old Testament called seers. They were prophets that saw visions. They were prophets that dreamed dreams. God had given them dreams, And as such, they were called seers. They saw things. The prophets experienced these visions in dramatic ways and oftentimes physically, emotionally. It would impact them. They would be distraught. They would be laid low. It would zap them of all energy. It would drain them, causing their strength to dissipate. And there would be an agony inside them, a writhing, if you will, of fear, trembling. Sometimes they were disturbed for weeks at the sight that they would see. Remember Daniel when he saw his visions? It says in Daniel chapter 8, verse 27, I, Daniel, was overcome, and I lay sick for some days. And then I arose, and I went about the king's business, but I was appalled by the vision, and I did not understand it. Sometimes Daniel tells us that his strength was taken away so much that his color would change. It's like you see in the cartoons, sometimes, you know, something happens to one of them and they turn totally green, or they turn like ghost white. Or, you know, sometimes if you're very angry at hearing something, you will turn beet red. Your whole face will just turn red. The prophets, as seers, it was almost like they're experiencing what's going to happen. I think that is what happened to Habakkuk here. As he heard of God's great judgment, let us remember it's God's great judgment, not only in the Babylonians, but it's as a result of what they are going to do to the people in Judah. It's a result of what the Babylonians are going to do in Jerusalem, decimating the temple. And all of this was because of the sin of the people in Judah. It was those that lived in Judah that were committing atrocities. And so, God's prophet, Habakkuk, this is where he lived. This was coming upon him. And he feels the weight of it. God's prophet was not flippant about what was coming upon these people, but his attitude was not, oh, whatever will be, God's providence. No, he felt the weight of the crucible that they were about to bear, and he was deeply troubled, the very core of his being, saying that even his legs basically turned to jelly. You see where it says here in verse 16, he says, my body trembles. This idea in the Hebrew is like my belly, or my, I had a visceral response to this. My belly was shaking. We would say my heart was pounding, is the idea that the terror that is coming upon them. Beloved, in light of this kind of fear and trembling that is coming upon this prophet, I just want to pause and remind you, this was a song for them to sing. This was a song to call upon the Lord and say, oh God, there's hope in you. Oh God, you are the great one. But in this particular part of the song, the prophet is saying, like, woe is me. Like Isaiah said, when he came into the presence of God, he said, my eyes have seen the Lord. And what does he say? Basically, he says, I am undone. You ever Have you ever unraveled some of your clothing? I remember as a junior high boy, I was standing, we were supposed to be singing, we were in church, now here it comes. And I looked down and on my button, there was a string there. And I was like, oh, I'm just gonna pull on it. And all of a sudden, whoop, off my button. And my friends, we just started laughing. But it was the idea that Isaiah is in the presence of the Lord. It's like physically, he's been unraveled, totally exposed before the Lord. And in light of that, Isaiah is like, forgive me, God. Woe is me. I think even for the church today, we need to have an attitude like this. Like when you read verse 16, I tried to read it slowly. Try to read it in such a way that even today that maybe our knees would be knocking. For none of us are promised tomorrow. To consider, the prophet says, not only is his heart pounding, he says, my lips quivering at what he hears. His lips. Do you remember all throughout this particular book, right? Habakkuk the prophet comes charging before the Lord. God, do something. We see this dialogue between the prophet and between God. The prophet is going to speak. He has a lot to say. He has a lot to shake his fist at God and say, how long, O Lord? He's crying out. There's violence in the street. There's idolatry in the temple. People, your people have rejected your word. God, do something. He's had a lot to say all through this book. But when he gets a vision of the Lord, when he gets a vision of what is to come, it's as though his lips are quivering. He doesn't have anything else to say. He's like, I'm in shock. I'm in awe. I'm speechless. I'm awestruck, God, at what is coming upon us. So in that, and I've been trying to remind you throughout this book that Habakkuk is the Old Testament. Okay, they are under the Old Covenant. And as such, this setting from an Old Covenant perspective, Judah and Jerusalem, even as they are on the cusp of this invasion by a cruel and wicked nation because of their sin, I want to remind you that the reason for this is Judah's violation of God's holy word. It's Judah and Jerusalem's violation against God's covenant. And it's against the old covenant. And so for them to stay in the land, God promised in Deuteronomy 28, under this old covenant, that's why it's called the Old Testament. It could just be called the Old Covenant. We have an Old Covenant. We have a New Covenant. Old Testament and a New Testament. Under this Old Covenant, God told them, if you obey my word, if you are careful to obey all of my word, then you will be blessed. Your barns will be blessed with overflowing, the vats of wine. You can't bottle all of it. There is going to be so much riches and glory if you will keep my word, keep my commandments. But then Deuteronomy 28 goes on to say, but if you violate my word, if you don't keep my covenant, if you break my law, if you forsake me, then you will receive, and it goes through this long list of all these curses. So in order for them to stay in the promised land, they had to obey God's law. They had to obey the covenant. Now, in that, what that means is, that was a covenant that was conditional. It was conditioned upon the Israelites' obedience. And if they disobeyed, they would be in exile. That's what happened to the 10 tribes in the north. The Assyrians took them off. And we know that that's what happens even to Judah and the tribe of Benjamin in the south. Listen to this. If you're taking notes, write this down. Jeremiah 31, 31. Really important. It says this. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. I want you to think Mount Sinai. Okay? And then it says, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. So this old covenant was broken. Because the people, if they did not obey, if they broke that covenant, God said, I'm going to hurl the curses on you, and you're going to be kicked out of the land. And that's why they were kicked out of the land. But in light of this old covenant that Israel had broken, they were on the cusp of being exiled and conquered by the Babylonians. With this terrible event, God's judgment was coming upon Judah. And Habakkuk says in verse 16, my body trembles because of the curses about to come upon us because of you and Jerusalem. And he had been praying, right? How long, O Lord? He'd been praying for their repentance. He'd been praying for all these things to change. His heart was pounding. But I want you to see, brothers and sisters, that this is why God promised the new covenant. The new covenant is a different covenant. The new covenant is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The new covenant, this is good, the new covenant is a covenant of grace. A new covenant is not based on what you do, but it's based on the surety of Jesus Christ. The new covenant is fulfilled fully in Jesus, and that's why the good news is believe. Not work harder, try harder, and maybe God will let you in. If you obey enough, God will let you into heaven. If you just get baptized, read your Bible, come to church enough, give your money, all these things, you too can get into heaven. No, that's not the good news. The good news is that it's complete and done in Jesus. It's a covenant of grace, not a covenant you have to work to get. Because of that, we have so much to sing about, don't we? We have so much to rejoice in. The God of our salvation that we have sung, even this morning. I hope you're smiling big. I have to remind myself, I have to write in the top, smile big here. This is so great. We have a salvation that is complete, it is accomplished, and it is secure in Christ Jesus. That is worth singing and worshiping and glorying in. Let us consider Habakkuk. They had been in the promised land for centuries. It had been 400 years since Solomon had built the glorious temple. And the Jews had worshipped there for generation after generation after generation. Even when the Assyrians came knocking at their door to destroy them, God used an angel to destroy the Assyrians. In one night, 185,000 were slain. And Sennacherib went running back home and was defeated. The Jews didn't lift a finger. So now, knowing that their city, all that they know, is about to be upended, they're about to be taken off into exile, all of your inheritance, if you could consider that, gone. If you're a prepper, right, you got your wood stored, you got your water stored, you've got all your rice and beans, and you're ready. It's like you're not ready enough. You don't have enough. You don't have enough gold stored away. You don't have enough food stored away. Because this brutal country is coming. And they're going to besiege Jerusalem for years. Waiting. Well, as Habakkuk was disturbed by God's coming judgment, he had no rebuttal. He had no complaint. But I think, beloved, as we think about this, we too have been given a picture of God's coming judgment in Jesus Christ. We have been given a picture of the certain judgment that the King of Kings, one day, all will be standing before him, the sheep and the goats. And he will separate the sheep on one side and the goats on another. And I have to cry out to you today. If you are a stranger to the Lord, Jesus Christ is your refuge. He is your fortress you must run to. He is your hope. If you do not know Jesus Christ, I call upon you today to run to Jesus. Put your faith in him. It says that all who believe in him will not face the everlasting judgment. You will be with God for eternity. And he will give you new bodies in Christ. Habakkuk heard from the Lord of this coming judgment. He trembled in fear. What about you? Even if you're a believer here today, do you tremble at the thought of this judgment to come? Not for the fear of yourself, but for those who do not know Jesus Christ. Do you tremble for your family members? Do you tremble for your neighbors who do not know the Lord? I pray that after today, you won't look at the postman the same way. You won't look across the fence at your neighbor's strange hair or their strange practices they do in the backyard, or maybe if they mess up your yard, they ruin something of yours, but that you would look upon them as a soul. And where are they going? Do they know Jesus Christ? Do we tremble at the thought of that justice coming upon them? Well, we are called to wait upon the Lord just like Habakkuk was. And even as radical as things are getting in our world, we are not called as believers to take matters into our own hands. we are commanded as Christians not to try to bring about the justice of God through our own actions, taking up our own swords, delivering justice as we see fit. We cannot do that. Romans 12, it says, verse 17, it says, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If so far as possible depends on you, live peaceably with all. He says, beloved, never avenge yourself. Never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God. He says, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. He says, to the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. Even if they speak Swahili, even if they speak Russian, beloved, get ready. If the world is coming to us because people are being displaced, let us show them the love of Christ, even though they have no love. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So let us too tremble at the truth of God's justice on the wicked, even as we may face tribulations and afflictions in this present evil world. The response upon Habakkuk hearing God's coming judgment was one of trembling. Two, we see that his response was a sobering assessment. A sobering assessment. Look with me, if you would, at verse 17. Habakkuk says, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herds in the stalls. Wow. This is a bleak testimony, isn't it? When war struck a people in these ancient days, the invading army would strip the land of anything good, and then they would either burn it or cut it down. So all that you thought you had is gone. So when we read these words of Habakkuk, as they're singing unto the Lord, what they're saying is, Lord, our whole economy is going to be destroyed. Our jobs, gone. Religiously, we're going to be in upheaval. We're going to be driven out as exiles and slaves. If you survive, famine. Back then, in their day, we don't really know famine here, do we? We're like, oh man, Hy-Vee is out of chocolate-covered almonds. I am upset, you know? But here, it's like, famine for them. Now, the luxury, did you see the luxury in verse 17? He first starts off talking about figs, and I know that makes your mouth water. And fruit on the vines, right? All these things, grapes, all these things. But back then, beloved, there were no Costcos. There is no Super Saver. There is no Hy-Vee. Mega supermarkets. Freezers and shelves full of food. I'll just go get a few things. No, when they heard this, imagine this. When they're singing this, the picture is deprivation. The picture is starvation. The picture is siege warfare. Crippling. Looking over and just seeing bones of your neighbor. And if you read the book of Jeremiah, I don't know if I'll ever read that in church, but it was so terrible what they were driven to eat, that I don't even think it's biblical to read it in the church, maybe in a Bible study. You just can't imagine. And to consider that these things would not even be scripted in a cinema, to be dare to be put on the entertainment or the silver screen. The feedlot, okay? It's barren. It's quiet. All the enemy has slaughtered everything. You and I think about these things and we think, we are the superpower. This will never happen to us. Yes, the world will come here, but we will not go there. Let's not be surprised, brothers and sisters, if something like this does happen to us. Be speaking Canadian, or you might be, what if you're taken to Azerbaijan? We're just going to displace you for a little while. What if you were taken to India? Maybe Russia. What would we do? Just like Habakkuk, live by faith. We would live by faith. That's what Habakkuk says here. In verse 17, he says, though there be everything gone, no food, nothing. Well, look at what he says in verse 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. All caps. I will rejoice in the Lord. How can he do that? This is a supernatural, sovereign act of God, strengthening Habakkuk's faith. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Notice he is not joyous over what he is going to get, but he's joyous over his God. This is the God of my salvation. This is my deliverer. The Lord God is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on the high places. The idea is triumph. The idea is, even in the midst of everything stripped away, victory. You got to think he's thinking resurrection. He's thinking, even if I die, there is hope in God who raises the dead, even as he promised covenantally to David. David, you're going to have one to sit on your throne forever, and his dominion and rule will reign forever. Beloved, Jesus Christ is the answer and the fulfillment to that covenantal promise. It is in Jesus that we rejoice. How? No more sacrifice. This thing may say it's an altar up here. It is not an altar, okay? This is no sacrificing going on up here ever. We don't need it. What does Jesus say? Now, in the book of Hebrews, he says, our sacrifice has been sacrificed once and for all. Isn't that glorious? And so thirdly, this is our response. A response of joy in the Lord. This is our response. This is us. We think of these things. The promise is in Jesus Christ. How does it say it in, I believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says, all God's promises find their yes and amen in Jesus. Beloved, we're not looking for something else. It is in Christ that the kingdom has been inaugurated, It has begun. If you are believing in Jesus today, it says that you have been delivered out of the domain of darkness, and you've been transferred into the kingdom of the Son, present tense, or that you have been transferred into the Son. And the idea is that it is complete. You're in. If you're in covenant with Jesus by faith, you are in the kingdom even today. That causes us to worship, doesn't it? Say, God, yes. That's why we're here. This whole day set aside to meditate on all these glories. I don't know every single person's particular stance before the Lord, but if you are a stranger to these things, if you hear these things and you're saying, no, that's not for me. I enjoy my sin way too much for all of Jesus and what he tells me to do. I love myself more than all others, and I do not know about this new covenant. If you are a pretender, you need Jesus Christ. The call is repent of your sin, believe in Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. This is our hope and joy. This is, Lord willing, your message to go and boast to others. We have peace with God now, because of Christ. So what are we to do? Rejoice. Have joy. Keep having joy. No matter if all your stuff is stolen. No matter if all of your stuff is burned down. No matter if you get displaced to Timbuktu. It doesn't matter. Our hope isn't here. We are pilgrims. So let's see all of us this way. Let us see people as souls who need Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for your great and awesome and majestic glory that is found and wrapped up and summarized, highlighted, exalted in Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, he is the one that has kept the new covenant for us. He is the one that gives us the free gift of eternal life. He is the one that gives us the free gift of righteousness. And Lord, no matter what we face, no matter the trials, no matter the affliction, oh God, grant us the grace where we say too, I believe in Jesus Christ. That we have faith that lives. Thank you, God, for this day of worship among the saints. Lord, change us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.